Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 20. It says this, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God that we just read, and that one verse, it's something that I think it's hard for us to wrap our heads around and our hearts around. But Lord, there is a hell, and people want to deny it all they want to, and even people that say they believe the Bible deny the reality of hell. And Lord, there are people that are headed there, and every one of us deserve to go there. So Lord, if there's one that's lost today, I pray today would be the day they'd see their need for salvation. They'd see that hell is real, that the judgment of God is a real thing, and that one day they will stand before God and give an account. And Lord, help us who have trusted Christ as our Savior, who know we're saved, help us to realize that this is where people are going to end up spending an eternity. And Father, we just thank you for the fact that there's still time for us to reach people with the gospel. Lord, I just pray you take this message and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we talk about the subject of hell, very often that's not what people want to hear preached. They want to hear about heaven. Everybody wants to hear about heaven. You go into the country music, or the pop and the rock and roll and all the different types of music they have, and there's people talking about heaven, and then they talk, when they do mention hell, they talk about what's going on here on earth. And there's even a fella that he was a Rastafarian. His name was Bob Marley. I believe he was Rastafarian anyway, but he was also a singer, and he wrote a song called "Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, But Nobody Wants to Go Now." You know, this idea of worldliness, that everybody expects to go to heaven, but nobody really cares about it. And that just epitomizes the attitude of mankind. We don't want to talk about hell. We don't want to talk about judgment. We just want to assume everybody's going to heaven. But nothing could be further from the truth. Hell is a real place, and hell is talked about as the place of the departed dead, the place where people are. If you go to Luke chapter 18, you have the rich man that goes to hell, and he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and there was a gulf betwixt them. And then you go to the book of Revelation, it talks about what's called the second death, the lake of fire. And people don't like that. We don't like to hear about that idea of a place of eternal torment. A place of eternal... And that's why our mind reels against that, because we don't have the grasp of the eternal. The only idea of the eternal that we have most time is we have this innate idea, especially when we're young. We act like we're just going to live forever, don't we? And we go out and do everything in the world. We talk about people sowing their wild oats, and then we get older and we get a little wiser and we see consequences, and then we begin to see our own mortality. I mean, we run around and do things that in this world, that, I mean, things we do every day. We drive cars knowing that some person could be liquored up, or there could be a mechanical failure or something, and it could end in death. But we still do it, don't we? And we go out, and boy, we like to go out and do things. We've got... And I can say I'm guilty of this. Boy, we get up there and we get up on roller coasters and all kind of things like that. And you know, something could happen and it could be over in a moment. We don't want to think about death, and we don't want to think about what's going to happen after death unless you're talking about heaven. But there's a hell. So the question is, why is there a hell? Why is there a hell? Have you ever thought about that? And I'm not planning on waxing great theological ideas. I'm just going to give you some basic ideas about the reason why there's a hell. You know, there's a reason why you and I, especially as we're young, and mankind in general, we always look at this thing and we have this attitude that we're just going to live forever. We don't think about death. We don't think about that. It's almost ingrained into us that we're going to live forever. And the truth is, you will live forever somewhere. When God made man a living soul, His intention was for that living soul to be eternal. And we know what the Bible says, that death came when Adam sinned. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's intention was always for man to live forever. We know, according to the Scripture, we know that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Now, the world looks at that from the lens of, oh, there are some people that are better than others. But no, that's not the case at all. Because we've just said clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible makes that clear. And the Bible says in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Wait a minute. I thought you said He died for the whole world. He did. Now, do you do the math? We're all ungodly. That's why we need a Savior. That's why from the very fall of man, God gave the promise that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, and every believer from that time forward has put their faith in the fact that God would send a Savior to bruise the serpent's head. To destroy the work of the devil. We know that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. We look back to the fact that He came, that He died on Calvary's cross, that He shed His blood for our sins, that He rose from the dead, proving He paid the penalty in full, and He ascended up to heaven, and we're looking for His return now. We're looking for the end of it all. But He said, when He talked about the resurrection, our Lord said there was coming a day when those that were in the graves would hear the voice of the Son of God, and some of them would be raised to everlasting life, and others to everlasting damnation or condemnation. And the Bible talks about hell quite explicitly. And one reason that there is a hell, and I just want to simply say this to you, one reason that there is a hell is because God created man's soul and spirit to be eternal, and therefore you're going to be somewhere forever. And that concept makes people real at that attitude. It's like, well, why would God make such a place of torment and perdition and shame and loathing? We talk about it. We go read what the Bible says about hell, and it just people don't want to hear that. It's like, how could a loving God do such a thing? Because He has to put them somewhere. The Jehovah's Witnesses and probably some other people teach annihilation because they don't like the concept of hell, even though it's all the way through the Bible. And another reason we have trouble with hell is because we live in sin so much and we're bombarded by it daily, and it's just normal and natural. We have to fight the old nature in ourselves as believers, because that old nature, if we follow it, we're going to sin, aren't we? That's why we've been talking about all this for weeks now. We've been talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. We've been talking about yielding ourselves to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, all this type of thing that we've been talking about. What's the point of that? What is the point of the Spirit of God in us, dwelling in us, so that we can learn to listen to the Spirit of God and not our old nature and say yes to God and say no to the flesh? Say yes to righteousness, say no to sin. And that's what we have. We have liberty in Christ that we can indeed do that. But we have to learn to do it. And we have to continue to learn to do that. But we look at hell and we say, that's just too much. That's just too much. Because we don't see sin the way it is. Unless somebody sins against us, then we have a good idea of what sin is, don't we? I mean, think about it. I've seen people in this day and age and heard people that have said that when somebody mistreated an animal, oh, they ought to be hung, they ought to be shot. Isn't that an amazing thing? And we don't have any trouble, O.J. Simpson died. And, you know, we know all about what happened with O.J. Simpson, and people feel like he got off, that he murdered his wife. And I don't know if any of us actually know the truth or not, but he got acquitted of murdering his wife, and he got off, and everybody was just absolutely sure that O.J. Simpson killed his wife. And you know what I saw? I was reading comments when I saw the news article. There were all these comments, a bunch of people. I hope he rots in hell. He deserves to rot in hell. And we say things like that, don't we? People say things like that. We don't, it's funny, we don't have, I'm talking about, I'm not talking about Christian folk, I'm talking about lost people. I'm talking about people that say, oh, I don't believe in Jesus at all, but they want somebody to rot in hell. Isn't it interesting how they reel at the idea that there may be a hell that they may be subject to, but they don't have any problem pronouncing that type of judgment on somebody else. Because the only time we see sin as a bad thing is when somebody's doing it to us. That's just the reality. And if you look at the passage of Scripture up there that I've got on the board, I don't know if it's still showing. Yeah, the passage of Scripture up on the board, it says therefore in Romans chapter 2, let me turn over there real quick. In Romans chapter 2, it says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against this them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that thou that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou should escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? God is patient, and he's kind, and he's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why? Because he knows there's going to be a day where his justice is going to have to be served. There has got to be a judgment. There has got to be a judgment. And we're all standing before God. And we judge people all the time, don't we? But the judgment of God is according to the truth. And while we excuse our sin, even while we condemn others, we're just showing we don't think sin is as bad as it is. But when you look at every death that's ever happened among mankind, it is directly related to sin, isn't it? Boy, we look at that. I mean, just looking at death itself, right? We look at death and we say, man, if somebody murders somebody, oh, that's bad. And we might make an excuse for somebody. Well, he was stealing and something happened, or he did this or he did that. Whatever the case may be, maybe it was a crime of passion, and we'll try to find reasons to excuse some people, right? I mean, that's the way the world is. We even have a category in our law called justifiable homicide, don't we? When we talk about self-defense and things like that. But you get somebody who murders a bunch of people, he becomes a mass murderer. Right? Oh! Now it's different. Now it's horrendous. Now it's horrible. I mean, that's just the mental gymnastics mankind goes through with the whole idea. But if you lay every sin, every death in the world at the feet of the, as being a result of sin, how horrendous is that? Now, I could give a lot more ideas, but you know, we're talking about a heaven where there's no lying, there's no stealing, there's no death, there's no idolatry, there's no... I mean, we go down the whole line of the things that it says there, and we talk about that, and we talk about heaven as a perfect place, and if people live forever, there has to be a place to put them if they're unregenerate. You know, the first thing I want to say about this is, if you go to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, let me run over there real quick. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, the Bible clearly tells us that hell was not created for man. Get over to Matthew chapter 25. My Bible's sticking together. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. He's here talking about the judgments of the nations. And he says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for mankind. It wasn't intended for man. That wasn't the original intention. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 14, verses 12 through 15, it talks about Lucifer being fallen from heaven and says he'll be thrust down to hell. But you know, it said that it was created for the devil and his angels. We read through Scripture and we find evidence that there are a number of angels who fell with Satan. Some believe, based on the passages in Revelation where the dragon's tail pulled down a third of the stars from heaven, that up to a third of the angels followed him in his rebellion. And we know that there are fallen angels. We know that from the Scriptures very clear. We know them as devils. And the Bible makes that clear, and it says that hell was created, prepared for the devil and his angels. Wasn't made for mankind. But then man fell. Man decided from Eve decided to decide for herself what was right and what was wrong. And then that she gave it to her husband. And Adam made that fateful choice where that sin nature was down to us. She gave to her husband with her. He saw what happened. And he took of the fruit. And instead of believing God, he believed his eyes. And he chose his wife over God. Because God told him, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and done this thing, And so death passed upon all men. And all men became sinners by birth, by nature. And you know what? We began to follow the devil. We began to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was us before we got saved. If you're saved today, that was you. But you know, there's another usage of that term angel, right? There's another usage of the term. An angel is simply a messenger. Angels are intended to be messengers. If you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, when the Lord is speaking to those seven churches in the book of Revelation, what does He say at the beginning? Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, unto the angel of the church at Thyatira, unto the angel of the church at Philadelphia, unto the angel of the church, the messengers of the churches. And most people believe that He's speaking to the pastors of those churches. And isn't it funny how all of us, we just seem to become the messengers of the devil, don't we? Anybody here ever been involved in wrongdoing and you tried to get somebody else to come along with you? Tried to convince somebody it was okay to do, it'd be all right, it'd be fun. You might as well nod your head. We became messengers of the devil. We became his angels, if you will. And so you could look at it from that point. And from that point at all, that tells us that we deserve hell. We followed the devil's rebellion, therefore we reap the same wages. This place that was prepared for him has now been expanded, and the Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. Talking about the sin of mankind. And so this place has now become a place of eternal torment. We don't like to hear about that. We don't like a place of eternal torment. But if everybody's soul lives forever, it's got to go somewhere, doesn't it? And it can't go to heaven. If you go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, when he talks about the lake of fire, and when he talks about heaven and hell and all the different things that we talk about there in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, you all know the verses. You've probably heard them 100 times. If not more. It says this. Excuse me, Revelation chapter 21, I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's told to be a place of eternal torment. We're told in Revelation 21 and verse 27, it says this, and there shall in no wise, talking about heaven, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they are all written in the Lamb's book of life. In Revelation 22 and verse 15 it says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I mean, we go throughout the scriptures. The book of Isaiah chapter 66 talks about, the very last verse talks about people who will look upon the carcasses of those that have transgressed against him. And for their worm shall not die. And the fire of their smoke of their torment is going to go. Their fire shall not be quenched. And it said they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. It's an eternal thing. Why is there a hell? Because there are beings that God created to be eternal, and therefore there must be a place for them, because if they're in heaven, it won't be heaven. By the way, it just makes sense that God would do that. We even use that in our own ideas, don't we? Think of the ways people in this world our legal system does. What do? People are upset because God takes people that deserve punishment, deserve His judgment, and separates them to a place where that judgment is fulfilled, and separates them from those that are just, or more properly, justified, because they trusted Christ. They trusted Christ as their Savior, therefore they got saved, therefore their sins were washed away, therefore they have the righteousness of Christ, and therefore they have right to enter into that city, right? Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yet people are angry because God segregates the lost and puts them in a place of eternal punishment. But we practice that same principle, do we not? Think of the way that the lost are described. They're described as transgressors, right? They're criminals against God. That's all of us. They're also described as mad, insane, if you will. A wise preacher I know one time, he said, "Ain't much difference between being in sin and insane." That's true. And not only that, we're told that we're dead, that they're dead. I want you to think about this for a moment. Even in our legal system, separation is normal. It is normal that we separate the lawbreaker from the lawkeeper. If I get a chance to go over here, and the times we go to Jackson County Adult Detention Center, and they're there because they've broken laws, and they're considered that they're deemed that they must be punished for what they have done. They must have justice for what they've done, and they are separated from the culture at large. Why? Because they are a threat. They have no respect for the law, and therefore they are a threat. If they're not checked, the society will break down. And look at what's happening in our culture now, where the judges and the laws, or people are just ignoring the laws. We have people breaking the law coming across the border in mass, and it's destroying our society. We have people that are going up before judges, and they're just letting them go, letting violent criminals go, turning them out of the jails. And what's the result? People are fearful for their lives now. Can you remember a time? I remember a time we never locked the door. I remember a time when we didn't lock the door in a car. I pull up in the church out here, and I walk out. You know what I do? I lock my doors. You know why I lock my doors? Because a few years ago we had a visiting missionary. And he came in, he had his car even locked. And some people came in and broke in while we were in church. Well, he's here presenting his ministry. They went and broke in and stole all his stuff. Right out there in the parking lot. We ended up getting cameras because of that. We lock our doors. We do these things. We take our you know, you notice how So many people are getting armed now and everything like that. Why? We had a time where nobody felt it necessary to carry a gun. Now a lot of people are carrying guns, aren't they? Why? Because it's dangerous. Why? Because the fact that we're not putting the lawbreakers away and segregating them from society is destroying our society. It's one of the things that is destroying our society. And you know what? It's happened everywhere they've done that. Everywhere they've acted that way, it's destroyed the society. And it's happening here today, isn't it? Now, if you just let everybody go to heaven, what's going to happen to heaven? That society would be destroyed. Because there'd be sin there. Which would introduce death. We also segregate the insane, don't we? When people are, and I'm not just talking about criminally insane, I'm talking about we have places where we put people that are literally insane and we put them away. Why? For the good of the society. Because they themselves, even though they have a mental condition, even though it can cause them and lead them to do things that are hurtful to other people, can it? So we segregate them, don't we? What does the Bible say about us in Ecclesiastes 9:3? This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. That evil that's in our hearts is equated to madness, to insanity. Jeremiah 50 and verse 38 says, a drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up for the land, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Do you know the number one sin of mankind is idolatry? Putting something before God. To break every other sin, you got to say, God's law is not right. I'll decide what's right and wrong. It's insanity. We talk about the scripture up here. We condemn people for doing the exact same things we do. When somebody does it to us, all of a sudden it's terrible. But when we do it to others, we got a good excuse. What is that but madness? What is that but a sin? And so people, we separate, segregate our criminals away from society, or at least we used to. We separate our insane away from society for the good of society, but yet people are upset that God does that. And you know what? We separate our dead from society, don't we? I mean, even our churches have graveyards, don't they? I mean, we don't get somebody that passes away and prop them up in the corner and stack the bodies in the church house or in our homes and everything like that. No! I mean, we bury them, burn them. If you turn to the book of Ephesians, if you would, with me, chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Isn't that an amazing thing? The Bible describes the lost person, the unregenerate person, as being dead in sin. God told Adam, "The day that thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die." And he died spiritually that day, and the effects of sin were manifest in his body because it began to age and began to break down. And though they lived much longer, they lived 800-900 years, but death claimed everyone, didn't it? Physical death finally claimed everyone. And that just shows the mercy of God, that God didn't put spiritual death and physical death, boom, one time. As soon as you sin, dead. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, right? And that just shows the mercy of God. And we see that now here as the effects of sin through our life, and we're dealing with health problems that our forefathers never knew in a lot of cases. And we're doing it to ourselves, by the way. Most of it, we're doing it to ourselves. And we're sitting here and we're looking at death, and our lifespans are dropping, and we're doing everything we can to kick them back out. But everything we do is a band-aid, because we can't conquer death, can we? There's only one man that ever conquered sin and death, and that's Jesus. Amen. And he did it in our place, didn't he? But we segregate the criminal, we segregate the insane, and we segregate the dead, and yet people are appalled that God would do such a thing when we ourselves do it. Because we don't have any choice, and neither does God. In order for there to be a heaven, God has to judge sin. He has to. Everything that's ever been done wrong, God's got to make right. How can He do that if He doesn't judge? So yes, there is a hell. But God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That's why there's grace. That's why Jesus died. That's why He rose from the dead. That's why it's so imperative that we get the message out. That's why if you're here today, you're listening to this message and you're lost, you need to understand God does not want you to go to hell. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Even going back to the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 32. "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye." Ezekiel 33 and 11. "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" God speaking to the nation of Israel. Boy, what a day it would have been if they'd listened to that message back then. Thankfully, one day they will listen, but that's not the point. The point is, the simple fact is, God has done everything necessary for man to avoid a hell, which we hate to even think about. And I understand why people hate to think about it, but it's a reality, it's the truth. There's reasons why there's a hell. Isn't it amazing? We segregate all these people. We act like we're just and everything like that. Then God does it, and somehow He's wicked. But He's not. And you say, "Oh, but the penalty's too great." That's just because you don't understand how bad sin is. Y'all walked into a house with somebody that couldn't smell. And there were things in the trash that had begun to smell, and because they couldn't smell, the whole house smelled. You walked in the door, it's like, whoa. He's like, what are you talking about? Couldn't smell. That's how we are when it comes to sin. We don't smell it like we're supposed to. Because we're comfortable in it. We just live in trash. We live in a trash heap compared to what God originally created this world, and we think it smells just fine. But the truth is, it stinks. And people say, oh, I've been through hell on earth. No, you haven't. Don't ever say that. Because hell's a lot worse, and it's worse because sin is bad. And boy, we don't like the idea of the penalty, but we don't mind when we do it, but when God does it, when God segregates man in a place of torment that is deserved, we think, oh, there's no way we could deserve that. But the truth is, we do. See, I don't have any problem saying I deserve to go to hell. I know I do. I deserve God's judgment. But I'm so glad that Jesus Christ died for me. And I'm so glad that somebody cared enough for me, and more than one person cared enough for me to tell me about the Savior that died for me so I didn't have to go to hell. You know, it's a sad thing that the world doesn't want to believe in hell, but even sadder is that we don't want to believe in hell the way we're supposed to. We say, oh yeah, we believe it, but we don't act like it. We don't try to win souls. We don't pray like we're supposed to. Why not? Could it be some unbelief creeping in there? That old nature of unbelief? That worldliness? We don't want to talk about hell anymore. People don't want to preach about hell anymore. Hey, I get it. It's not a pleasant thing to sit there and preach about this, but it's true. There's a hell for a reason. And the reasons are very good why there's a hell. Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. We go back to that first verse right there, and I just want to say something about that verse, that first verse. Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. You know what that saying? It's saying because man runs to sin and has his heart fully set on sin. He's never satisfied. He doesn't turn to God. Hell just gets bigger and bigger. The space needed. And yet God offers salvation. He offers an escape. He offers a way not to go there. Jesus shed His blood on Calvary's cross for our sins. And the message is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How much more simple can it get? And we say, I don't need that. I don't need that Jesus stuff. All those churches are all full of hypocrites. Yeah, I know. They're all over the place. Go to the grocery store. Beer joints full of them. Dance halls, all full of hypocrites. At least here in the church house, we're supposed to be trying to do something about that, aren't we? Huh? But we make our excuses, don't we? I'm not going to believe on Jesus because somebody said they believed on Jesus and they did me wrong. Okay, did all of them do you wrong? Isn't that the essence of prejudice and bigotry? Just like that woman at the well, right? How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You're a Jew, why are you even talking to me? You know all you Jews are bad. Isn't that what she said to the Lord? That's what we do, don't we? We come up with excuses. and God's judgment is going to be just. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I just ask you to bow your heads for a moment. I'm not going to be long on this, but I just want you to understand that, are you struggling with the need for a reason for hell? I think I've laid it out pretty clearly. We don't have any trouble. But do you believe people are going to die and go to hell? If we believe that, then I think it ought to make a difference in the way we live, don't you? If we believe we've been saved from such a place and there's a way for other folks to be saved, why don't we do something about that? Why don't we share it with folks? And if you're here today and you're lost, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to a place of separation from God and separation from all that's good and right and holy and decent. You can be redeemed of your sins, not by any work that you've done, but by simply believing that Jesus paid the penalty for your sins, shed His blood as payment, rose from the dead. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you'll just call upon the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, it's that simple. Everybody's upset that God has a place called hell. And they don't think it's fair that anybody should have to go there, even though we segregate the wicked, the insane, the dead from our own society. And when we don't, we see the consequences, don't we? It hurts other people. But we want God to just hurt everybody who's trusted Jesus. He can't do that, because He'd be as wicked as we are. But we don't have to go to hell. Jesus paid the penalty for your sins. Jesus rose from the dead. And you say, "Preacher, I'm so glad Jesus saved my soul. And I'm thankful for that testimony." But beloved, we've got to get to the point where we believe in this thing called hell that God tells us about. You don't have to be afraid of it if you're saved, but we should fear for others. We should fear for others' safety and do what we can to try to reach them. Heavenly Father, I just pray You'd bless each one. Lord, You know every heart. If You've spoken to someone, if someone needs to get saved, I pray for their salvation. And Lord, if there's one that's here and that they know they're saved, but they're afraid to tell people and share the gospel and warn them, Lord, I just pray You'd help us to have the boldness to do what we're supposed to do. Help us to see the truth of it so that we can see the reality of it. Lord, You this is beyond our ability to comprehend in many ways, but we can comprehend that there's a need for separation and that there are people who are going to be separated from God for all eternity. Lord, there's a place called hell. It's real. Help us to believe it. Pray for the salvation of souls, and we pray that believers would live like believers. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.